Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had summoned them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, happy Ascension Day, brothers and sisters. This is a great Christian feast. This is a day that fills us with hope and joy and meaning as we celebrate during this Easter season the resurrection of Christ from the dead, the conquering of death, and the sharing of that eternal life with all of us. What is the significance then of the ascension? 40 days had passed since that great day of the resurrection, when the disciples rejoiced because they saw the risen Lord. And he let them touch him, and he ate with them, and he instructed them that this was the fulfillment of all the scriptures and the prophecies, that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. Now, over the course of these 40 days, there were various appearances of the risen Lord. But he was teaching them, he was preparing them for the time that they would not see him in human form, a time in which we are still living now. We are living between the ascension, the last time they saw Jesus in bodily form, and the second coming, when we will again see him in bodily form. We are living in that period in between, whose length is known to God alone. And he has prepared these disciples and us and all who will come after us. As he said here, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the world, until I come back. I'm still with you, but obviously in a different way." And this is where right away on the ascension, he gives a number of things to his followers on the ascension. And one of those things is the command to pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, he had talked about this, and we reflected on it in many Easter season readings, that when he returns to the Father, he and the Father would send the Holy Spirit. In fact, he said he had to return in order then for that to happen. That's the next phase of this unfolding of salvation history. So he said, "Now I'm asking you to stay in Jerusalem and pray." So traditionally, therefore, these days now between the Ascension and Pentecost, which is next Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit, have been days that are marked by special prayer to the Holy Spirit, prayer for the coming of the Spirit. The Spirit is one of the ways Jesus fulfills this promise, "I am with you always." Because as he said, the Spirit will lead you back to the things that I have taught you. He will remind you of those things, and then he will lead you into all truth. So let's pray for that coming of the Holy Spirit. Because then that coming of the Holy Spirit, which we will celebrate in detail next Sunday, enables them to carry out the other command that he gave on the day of the Ascension. Go and make disciples of all the nations. This great commission. They were able to fulfill that only because the Spirit came into them and transformed their sorrow into joy and transformed their fear into bravery, into courage, into zeal to spread that glorious gospel. Sure, they knew that those who hated Jesus hated them. Those who crucified Jesus would try to kill them too. But they were experiencing this presence of Jesus through his Spirit, and therefore that overcame those fears, this desire, this yearning to bring the gospel to all peoples. This is the mission now of the church until Jesus comes again. Teach, baptize, and do it, he says to his church. That includes each of us. Do it with the awareness that I have the authority. In other words, he begins here by saying, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Trinity, and in his human nature, he has full authority over the entire universe. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. No higher authority than him. To no one should we give greater loyalty than him. He is the one alone who deserves our ultimate obedience and service. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am sending you to preach this gospel to all nations. Baptize them. Why? Because that's the way that they share the fruits of my suffering and death and resurrection. That's the way they too die and rise in me. That's the way they connect with the events that you have just experienced over these last 40 days. That's how it happens. That's how the church grows. That's how the body of Christ is built up. That's how salvation advances. That's how people are saved. They have to get baptized. So baptize them, make them disciples, followers of me. Remember, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus had promised at various times in his preaching that some who were hearing him would not die until they see the kingdom of God come in power. Well, this was the day that was fulfilled. They saw the kingdom of God come in power, standing right in front of them and talking to them. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, understand, therefore, this is what gives shape and meaning and impetus to that declaration of the apostles that there is no salvation in anyone else. It is Jesus Christ who has all authority and power, and it is he whom we proclaim. We respect people of all religions, and we respect people who don't have any religious faith. But we proclaim only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We respect people of every religion, but we do not assert that every religion is equal. We do not hold that every religion is true. There are elements of truth and goodness in other religions, and we need to recognize and affirm those elements. For example, if people believe in one God who answers prayer and who has spoken to his people and who loves them and forgives sin, well, those are shared beliefs. Our Jewish brothers and sisters believe that. So we acknowledge all the elements of truth and goodness, but there is only one gospel of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is he that we proclaim. Proclaiming the gospel doesn't just mean going around to everybody and saying, oh, you know, as long as you're being a good person, it doesn't matter what you believe. It does matter what we believe. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, all power has been given to me. Go and make disciples of the nations and teach them what? Whatever they want to believe? Or teach them everything that I have commanded you? He's pointing to himself. And you know what that means? We've got to point to him too. That's the gospel that we preach. And brothers and sisters, it is we who preach it. This commission is given also to us. Before he ascends, he gives us our marching orders. And that is where, you know, we need to reflect for a moment on the fact that being witnesses to the gospel and taking part in the great mission of spreading it to others is something that comes from our baptism. I'm going to take out here this book, Documents of the Second Vatican Council. And there's a decree in here about the laity. Most people in the church are laity, right, as opposed to clergy. Listen to what it says in number 3 of this document. From the fact of their union with Christ the Head. And that's a key theme of this feast, isn't it, of the Ascension. We heard it in the other readings and in the prayers already, that Christ is the Head, we are the members, we are the body, united with Him in His risen life, by our baptism. So from the fact of our union with Christ the Head flows the layman's right and duty to be apostles. Apostle means one who is sent. That's what Jesus did before He ascended. He sent His followers to make others into followers, disciples. The Vatican Council goes on, inserted as they are into the mystical body of Christ by baptism and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, it is by the Lord Himself that they are assigned to the apostolate. And that's the phrase I want to emphasize here. You and I, well, all of us who are baptized, are assigned by the Lord Himself to the great task of spreading the faith. By the Lord Himself. Not by your pastor. Not by your bishop. Not by the Pope. By the Lord Himself, the church teaches, you have been tasked and equipped. Baptism, confirmation, the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit, you have been called and equipped. It says you have both the right and the duty to bear witness to the faith, to proclaim the gospel. You don't need anybody's extra permission to proclaim the gospel. You may need somebody's permission to use the church hall to do it, but you're supposed to proclaim the gospel wherever you are. We have both the right and the duty to do this because of our baptism, and we are assigned to this by the Lord Himself. Now, what is it that we proclaim? And what is the meaning then of Christ after giving this command to ascend there into heaven? The meaning is that our human nature has been fully redeemed and united to God. Now, He did it initially, of course, He created us, right? And so we are always creatures of God. By the incarnation, by the mystery of Christmas, He joins our human nature to Himself, so that now we have a person, Jesus, who is both human and divine. And all of us, therefore, everyone who shares human nature, born and unborn, are somehow united to God, thanks to just to the incarnation. But now we have a deeper spiritual reality. Our human nature was taken through death by Christ and rose from the dead. So our human nature was now taken to the other side of the grave, given this new life which dies no more. And today, these disciples who were privileged to witness it see visibly the truth that our human nature in the risen Christ is taken to the heights of heaven. They see it visibly. Christ ascending. Where is He going? Well, He's going to the one who is the origin of everything. He's going back to the one who sent Him. He's going to our Father. Our Father. Because of baptism, because of our share in these mysteries, because of the resurrection and the ascension, we dare to say our Father, because now, just as Christ shares our human nature, we share His divine nature. That's the only reason we can say our Father. Because now we're His children. We share His divine. We don't say our Father because we share human life. We say our Father because we share divine life. The Father gives us a share in His divine nature. And this is what's being said. In the Ascension, we look and we say, well, there is now a human body and a human soul sitting on the throne of God. And we share that humanity, and that's where we're going to sit too. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says to the victor over sin, over death, the victor, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, to sit with me on my throne. That's our hope, and that's why this Mass is filled with the message, and Paul said it to the Ephesians, that we have this hope, this sure hope, that where Christ has gone, we follow. Why? Because we're members of his body. So we too will rise from the dead. We too will have our bodies restored. We too will ascend to the throne of Christ. The first reading here from the Acts of the Apostles, these angels appear after he ascended, and they say, men of Galilee, he's going to come back. You don't have to stand there in the sky wondering, oh, am I ever going to see Jesus again, or expecting him to come right at that moment. But he's going to come back in just the way you saw him. So he's with us now in the Eucharist, in his word, in his Holy Spirit, through his church, and in the community, in the ministers. But he will come back in the same way you have seen him go. And Paul talks about that. The Lord will come in the sky, on the clouds, and all the dead will be raised, and we will be gathered together with him. This also was prophesied. Every eye shall see him. See, he comes on the clouds. Every eye shall see him, even of those who pierced him. He's coming back. And then all salvation will be brought to its fullness. The ascension finally reminds us of the dignity of human life, physical life, the dignity of the human body. It's been taken to the throne of God. And this is the hope of humanity. Our story does not end on this earth. If we are going to proclaim, as we must, commissioned as we are to make disciples of all the nations, empowered as we are to spread the faith, if we are proclaiming to the world that the hope of humanity is to sit with God, to sit with Jesus on his throne, then can we possibly ignore it when that same human life is thrown in the garbage, trampled upon, destroyed violently by things like abortion? Nothing destroys more human life than abortion. Can the Christian, can the preacher of the gospel possibly have any credibility going before the world and saying, brothers and sisters, our humanity, our human body, our soul, our person, we are meant to be in the heights of heaven forever in life with Jesus. Can we possibly be saying that? And then when human beings are being cut apart and dismembered and thrown in the garbage and suctioned through plastic tubes and put in the medical waste every day by the thousands, oh, we don't have anything to say about that. We're just here to preach the gospel. Makes no sense. It's impossible. If we're not addressing the evil of abortion, we're not preaching the gospel. If we're not standing up, shouting from the rooftops, at the full-throated, like the prophet Isaiah says, cry out full-throated and unceasingly. If we are not trumpets for justice, human dignity, and the right to life, we are not proclaiming the gospel. We are not announcing the resurrection. We are not showing people the meaning of the ascension. But if, in fact, we appreciate and proclaim these things, well, then, if we celebrate these things, well, then, brothers and sisters, we are celebrating the glory that God has given to human life, and we are celebrating therein the sacrifice that we are called to make to preserve that life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your ascension into heaven and for the hope that it brings us. Bring us, Lord God, beyond the sufferings of this life, beyond the shadows of death, to that life where life never fades, to that place where we will be seated also on the throne, to that joy that truly has no end. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.